Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Thanks to sports director Gary Hess for stopping by. He'll join us for a regular scheduled interview every Wednesday at 2:15. A drive down Richmond Highway with the sports director and the czar here at WRNL, Gary Hess. Lane Casadante to talk local sports here in Richmond, Virginia at 2:30. We'll head out on the fast break with AWOD talking all things NBA, but right now it's 1 p.m., which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
833-804-0910. Call in right now, Commanders fans here in Richmond. 833-804-0910. Will the Commanders win a Super Bowl before they return to RFK for the 2030 season? I really think they can. One more off season from, I think, our entire roster being upgraded and the team being legit contenders. I think they are playoff contenders this year. And I think they are not a long shot, but a unlikely pick to win the Super Bowl. But I think they proved with Jaden Daniels anything is possible, and the future is now. But one more season, I think they could become not just playoff contenders, but legit Lombardi Trophy contenders. One more offseason. That's what I think it's going to take. Another free agent class, another draft class, another year for Jaden Daniels to develop. The article I read this morning from The Huddle covering NFL and sports had the headline that follows: Commanders' new stadium will change DC forever. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. So, Stubb, I've mentioned this before. I was a season ticket holder in my past life. When my dad purchased our season tickets, 17 straight years from when I was probably, I want to say like 14 years old. No, that's too long. Probably like 9 years old to like 26 or 27 years old. We had the tickets all throughout middle school, high school, and my 4 years of college, and then I think a year or two after that. Look up when Alex Smith got his leg broken, snapped in half. That was the last thing my dad wanted to see at FedEx Field. We stopped paying for season tickets after that. But me being a season ticket holder in the past and a Commanders fan who went to a game last year, I was sent by the Washington Commanders.
2018.
What is that? 2018?
Yeah, 2018.
2018. So 17 years from 2018. So it probably started, what, 2001?
Yeah, that'd be 01.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's how long I went to games at FedEx Field. Never went to him at Northwest Stadium until this year. But I was sent the survey that the Commanders fans have sent to season ticket holders, fans who bought tickets last year, and anybody that signs up for their email blast. So I wanted to go through some of the results from my survey, which will help the Commanders come up with their final plan for RFK once the council gets the votes needed. So first, what state do you live in? Virginia. Provide your zip code. Done. Do you currently own season tickets? No. Have you ever owned season tickets in the last 10 years? Yes. What? Please indicate the primary reason you no longer own season tickets. I went with the cost of season tickets being too much, the team performance being awful. I mean, that season with Alex Smith, yes, it got off to a great start, and then it just completely unraveled. The stadium condition. I did feel like too many games in a season ticket package. Me and my dad and a lot of people I know that receive tickets all complained about how you're forcing us to pay for preseason. Nobody even wants to go to preseason. Have you purchased single game tickets for the Commanders in the past 3 years? Yes. How would a relocation to RFK site impact your decision to attend Washington Commanders games in a new stadium? I would be much more likely to attend. What is your preferred method of transportation? Drive, park, metro. I want a metro into RFK. From Richmond, it's tougher. You might have to drive to like Springfield, get out of your car, and then metro in. But I think most of the Commanders fans want to have the ability to metro in, and that way you can avoid the crazy nightmare of the traffic in your car after a game. And then the next part of the survey said, indicate your opinion on how important the following aspects of the Commanders' game day experience are. Team performance, extremely important. Tailgating, to me, that's extremely important, and I need them to recognize that the fan base is already saying 8,000 seats for parking spots for tailgating. That's just not enough. It's just not enough. We want more. Metro access, extremely important. Stadium quality, extremely important. Affordability of the experience, tickets and concession. That is the most important thing for me. And probably for a lot of Commanders fans. That's why Rick Snyder talked about this stadium is going to be for the rich and the wealthy to afford the crazy prices of tickets and concessions and this new style of PSL where you will have to purchase your seat licenses. Available of tickets in prime locations. That is extremely important to me. I like to be lower level or upper level 50-yard line. Level of premium seating and hospitality. That is not important to me at all. Does not matter to me at all. Premium seating. I've been to a suite section one time in a Commanders fan. You know what I felt like? I was watching it at home. There was no excitement. People were drinking. They were smoking cigars. They're watching the game on TV. They're not even outside of the box in the porch. They're sitting inside. Means nothing to me. Next part of the survey. Please indicate, in your opinion, how important the following stadium characteristics would be for a new Commanders stadium. Improved seat comfort. That's not important to me. The seats were fine. Improved restrooms quality and quantity. I think the restrooms at FedEx, they were nasty. Stop. I mean, every time you walked in there, you felt like I'm going to have to change my entire clothing and throw away my shoes because it's sticky and wet. So you do want them to improve the restrooms. Improved concessions. Yes. Just get rid of Johnny Rocket. It's so stupid. Improved scoreboard. That's not that important to me. I want to watch the game with my own eyes, not watch a scoreboard. Expanded concourse width. That's a new thing in these new stadiums. They're making the concourse super wide so people can kind of walk around and there's room for vaping and smoking cigarettes. That means nothing to me. Convenient parking, very important. Tailgating areas, extremely important. Improved Wi-Fi. Stub, if you or any of your Gen Z friends tell me improved Wi-Fi is important, I'm going to tell you not to come to our stadium. That's the stupidest thing. I can't believe this is on the survey, but that's what they've been told the younger audience cares about.
I wasn't planning on fighting that.
Improved Wi-Fi. Care. So stupid. No, not important at all.
I also don't remember there being any issue sending any messages when I was there.
No, but that's more for like, oh, I'm coming to the game. I'm not even a Commanders fan, but I want to watch Red Zone from my seat every commercial break.
Oh.
That's improved Wi-Fi. Okay, doesn't matter to me. A smartphone app that you can order food and get stadium information. No, I don't want to be on my phone.
No,
I don't care about
that.
That's a good idea. Addition of sports.
I'm in on that.
Addition of a sports betting lounge. Not interested. I'm going to the game
to
watch my team win, not to bet on other games. And I don't bet on Commanders games mostly because too much of my heart is on the line.
Too much bias.
Yeah. How often do you tailgate when you attend a game? Every single game. I'm glad that this question's on the survey, because I hope every single person that fills it out says, if I tailgate, it's every game. You don't take games off to tailgate. How many people do you usually tailgate with? I put 5 to 9, but usually 10 to 20 as well. What types of tailgating experience are you interested in? This is a big part of the survey, because what they're trying to provide is both options of indoor, all-inclusive tailgating experiences where the food and beverages are purchased with your package. Outdoor, all-exclusive tailgating experience with the food and beverage provided. No, I answered, I want traditional outdoor tailgating. I want to bring my own PBR. I want to bring my own Hebrew National hot dogs. I don't want your stuff that somebody else is cooking for me. That's not the way tailgating works. Would you potentially be interested in purchasing season tickets? Hell yeah. Would you be interested in purchasing a single game ticket? Hell yeah. Please indicate why you'd be interested in a season single game ticket instead of season tickets. Probably the expected cost of season tickets, and there's too many games in a season ticket package. I was a season ticket holder for 17 years, Stub. You don't need to go to every single home game. It's actually nice once a year, or maybe twice, to watch a home game at home, especially when you know they're playing against the Browns or the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was the one thing I did not like, and I was a season ticket holder for nearly 20 years, was you're committed to 8 regular season games and 2 preseason games. I never got to go to a home playoff game but once, when RG3 got his knee destroyed by the Seattle Seahawks. 17 years, one positive memory of a playoff game. It's been tough to be a Commanders fan. And then lastly, the new renovated stadiums are offering a range of different social gathering areas and spaces. The social gathering sections include a ticket, standing room only, doesn't include a seat. I'm not interested at all in this. This feels like your generation's thing too. And maybe even maybe
no,
but maybe
fault.
Millennials as well. I'm more of an old soul, but I'm not going to a football game to like gather by a bar and then go out to the standing room only section. That's like the 300 plus section.
I think this is the older crowd.
Really?
Like with the wealthy older crowd that doesn't want to be mixed in with maybe all the people. They want to stand with like their clients or whatever.
I do know that when I went to a game this year, and they do still have at FedEx these social gathering areas that are like, it's like a bar out behind the seats. It's a younger crowd. Now, I agree with you. There's like some 60-year-olds there too. And they're drinking like double Jack and Cokes. But I do think that the whole social gathering thing is skewed more toward younger
audience. I think this is more of a wealth than an age.
It could be. But I know that when I went there recently, a lot of younger people were hanging out by the bar. Because here's the other thing. The younger people, I think, are more likely to go to a game and not be a Commanders fan. Like, if you're 60-plus, you're only going to the game if you care about that team or the opposition.
This is what I'm saying with the money thing. I have the money to go to one game a year, pretty much. So I'm going to watch the game.
I see what you're saying, but I think there might be some wealthy Gen Zers that right out of college got an IT job, they're making $100,000, and they'll go to the game, they're not even a Commanders fan, but they're going to stay in the social gathering area and watch Red Zone, because they're there for the vibe.
God, what an expensive entrance fee for a bar.
Yeah, I know, pretty crazy.
Just go to B-Dubs.
So I filled out the survey. I want all of the other Commanders fans to fill out the survey, because this is your only chance to really feel like you're talking face-to-face with Josh Harris about how you want the new stadium to look. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I sent Stubbs some dude food topics today that I thought were funny, as In-N-Out Burger was arguing with McDonald's on social media, saying the average In-N-Out manager makes $180,000 annually. The average McDonald's manager makes less than $70K annually. We are not the same. I didn't know we were going to get a burger war between In-N-Out Burger and McDonald's.
No, and this is also, I mean, it's a little bit of a cost of living thing. In-N-Out's only in California.
True.
Which costs so much, and there's McDonald's all over.
But I will say this.
The country, but it is, that's so significant that it's more than just
I
that.
Don't think they were ever in the same category.
They're not. They're
right?
not.
Right? It's, yeah, In-N-Out Burger, as much as I don't think it's that great, it's a step up over McDonald's. That's the lead story here on Dude Food on AWOD Radio.
Dude Food.
We're not responsible for the content of this program or anything we say when we're really hungry.
Where's my food?
Dude, where's my
food?
The most delicious food you've ever tasted.
Yes!
I can eat this off a flip-flop.
He loves food.
Dude Food.
In-N-Out Burger versus McDonald's. Now, I thought it was a hilarious tweet.
It is, kind of,
out of nowhere, right?
Just it's classic Twitter beef.
Yeah, with each other. In-N-Out Burger versus McDonald's. Brian, the traffic reporter, has busted through the doors here once again. Have you ever been to the West Coast and tried an In-N-Out Burger before?
No and no.
Do you have any interest?
I do have interest in going to the West Coast at some point. And I listen to one of our sister stations out in L.A. They talk about In-N-Out all the time.
Yeah,
so
people in L.A.
Can we get it delivered, maybe?
They talk about In-N-Out Burger like it's Five Guys, it feels like, right? Like, Northern Virginia people talk about Five Guys like they own it because
right.
it started there. That's how Californians talk about In-N-Out Burger, with their soggy fries and their undercooked burgers.
And it's not that life-changing.
It's not. It's really not.
Five Guys is, though. That's
and
real.
I also think Cookout's life-changing.
Cookout is life-changing.
I had that on Monday night for dinner, right? I passed it every
really?
Day on the way home. Oh, yeah. The one over on Quiakasin, sure.
Did you get the tray? What'd you get?
Did. I got two chili dogs.
Nice.
And the coleslaw and the fries. Even got a soda, which I don't usually drink soda for dinner.
Sometimes yeah. I get the entree of two chicken quesadillas, and for my two sides, I get a chicken quesadilla and a chicken quesadilla.
So you get four quesadillas.
That's like a half a pizza.
I mean, Stubbs is a weird guy. I've done
Never
quesadilla,
tried the
corn dog, and then usually I get like hush puppies and
my
fries.
My usual is like a burger, corn dog, fries, or hush puppies.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I've never had the quesadilla.
And then I usually
Cookout.
It's a good deal.
It's good. I always get like a shake there with multiple flavors.
I always get the
cheer. You got to take advantage of the fact that they let you load it. I mean, you could do six flavors. They don't really care.
Right.
They get sized.
I would care.
But you're
that
there.
Doesn't sound good.
I always do like a strawberry mixed with mint chocolate chip. It's weird, but
okay.
I like it.
No, that's not crazy.
What do you want to bring up on Dude Food today, Stubb?
I got a topic. You know how, do you guys know anyone that like eats sandwiches but hates bread and is trying to like find other bread alternatives?
No, I'm not hip to this.
You don't know anyone like that? Okay. People using bell peppers, people making lettuce wraps.
I am hip to people doing like stuffed peppers as a meal.
Yeah, but it's like instead of a sandwich, you like get a bell pepper and then
Ooh.
You put like the ham and cheese.
No, I don't like it. That's because all of his damn Gen Zers friends, they're probably gluten-free.
Probably.
They're scared to death of gluten, all these damn Gen Zers.
This is a millennial thing.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now, bell pepper sandwiches is your generation, Adam.
Sure.
Anyways, you know, Witch is entering the field here with an Avo Witch, featuring a sandwich where instead of two pieces of bread for its sub, it's two peeled avocados.
Ew! No. The only time
How do you hold it? Like,
the only
it's
one
not
I
a
could
solid.
Get behind with this was when KFC did it with two chicken breasts as the bread. That actually tasted good. That was like a million calories, but it tasted good.
Yeah, I'm talking about the healthy. There is an unhealthy alternative. You can talk about the donut burgers that you can get like at some Sugar Shack.
You know what I don't
shack.
Hate, though, and I've done this before, is that certain restaurants, instead of getting like a burger or a taco, you can get a lettuce wrap.
Yeah, that's a normal one.
That actually tastes pretty good. Not as good as if you had gotten the damn bun.
I think lettuce wrap is the best solution here.
Yeah.
Would you try an Avo Witch?
No.
How do you hold it?
I don't know. It's got to be slimy as hell.
Avocado's not a solid.
No. It's not.
I'm looking at a picture here.
But who's doing this bell pepper thing that you're talking
about? You don't know
about?
Anyone doing bell pepper sandwich? You've never
seen this?
I know
people that do. They stuff the bell peppers and they make that a meal. I don't know anyone that makes it a sandwich.
That's real.
It's got to be a YouTube video on how to hold an avocado sandwich.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm not interested in that. That kind of sounds nasty stuff.
Sounds nasty. I agree. Like, I agree.
Yeah.
I saw Witch is doing it. You can go and get it now. Is
That's
it some other avocado-like thing that isn't actually an avocado? Because that doesn't work.
I don't know. You know what?
I love avocado on a burger, though.
You know what's one trend that I just can't get behind? And Stubb, you could probably chime in on about this. And Brian, if you're on the old TikTok, you can chime in as well.
Okay.
Feels like the number one thing in terms of food trends right now, Stubb, is these one-pan meals.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You heard about that?
Yep. Love
I don't
a
like
meal.
That. I don't like that.
I love a one-pan meal.
I like one thing in the pan, one thing in the oven, you know, one thing maybe on an air fryer. I don't like putting everything together.
Yeah, you put everything together.
Just like, you're just making slop.
Right.
You know, here's my slop for dinner.
Oh,
that's
dude.
That's about right.
I made a good meal last night, and I saw the recipe said one pan meal, and I said, no, I'm gonna oven roast this part, I'm going to pan fry this part, and I'll put it together at the end. I don't like the idea, and I think
It's
a Gen Z thing again.
It's all about the dishes.
It's all about not doing dishes.
It's all about not doing dishes.
Well, I have my solution to that. I go through the cookout drive-thru.
I know. My solution to that is I tell my girlfriend, I cook it, you do the dishes. Right?
No,
That's my deal.
I saw a recipe.
I cook it, you do the cleaning.
I saw a recipe for like a one-pan pasta, and it's like, no, I'm cooking the pasta separately.
Right,
I'm not cooking the pasta in the
sauce.
I
don't like this trend
I don't believe
of one-pan stuff. I think it's lazy.
It's just the crock pot. It's this generation's crock pot.
Yeah. I'm okay with crock pot cooking.
That's one.
Yes, but I like a slow cook crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you make something and you tell me it was in there for 5 hours, I'm going to lick my lips. That thing's going to be good.
It's just the next step to me of the crock pot.
Yes, but it doesn't do the. But you can't really slow cook the pan
meal.
Like for 5 hours like you can
no,
in a crock
you
pot.
No, you can't.
Right? I mean, you put some marinade together in a chicken, you put it in a crock pot. You come back after a work day, man, that thing's going to slice open.
Oh,
and it's
man.
Just going to be shredded chicken. Crockpot, I am so for a crockpot.
You got a crockpot?
I do, yes.
You use it?
Not very often. The only thing I'd use my crockpot for is my grandma's meatballs. You know, have you ever heard of grandma's meatballs,
no.
Brian? You take, it's so simple, barbecue sauce and grape jelly and meatballs, put it together with some salt,
like
pepper
meatballs?
And stuff, yep, in a crockpot. Check back in 5 hours. It's liquid gold. For some reason, the barbecue sauce and the grape jelly combines to make just this unbelievable sweet and tangy flavor that works great with meatballs.
I do not have a crock pot. If I did, I'd be making a lot of buffalo dip.
Yeah, buffalo dip. And, I mean, anything chicken in a crock pot or pork belly is really good. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Brian, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
How are the roads looking?
Looking good.
Yeah?
I got back from my lunch. I had dude food at Mezza today, so the roads were looking very
good. You really
good
like Mezza.
Are
they putting gift cards in your pocket or
I
what?
I wish, man. I tell you what they have, and I never see these anymore unless you like buy it at like Costco or something, is they actually had a canned soda.
Yeah.
You know, they used to come out of the drink machines in every building in the country, and then they started doing $5 bottles, and our machine sold out, by the way.
Yeah.
So I had to get the can.
I am unfortunately backed on canned sodas. I'm doing a Diet Dr. Pepper every night. It's like an addiction. It's a problem. Last night I had two.
Diet
I love a
Diet Dr.
Diet
Pepper's
Dr.
terrible.
Pepper. Down in those.
I don't know. I love it.
You're subbing the Michelob for a diet.
Yeah. I'm staying away from the beers. Now I'm doing my Diet Dr. P. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's Wednesday. It's 2:15, which means it's time to welcome in the Czar, Gary Hess.
What is happening, man?
What's going on with you?
You know, same old stuff, man. Got the bug to get outside and do stuff, particularly with my golf clubs.
Yeah, the weather has been great, and there's playoff sports to talk about. Let's get in
indeed.
The car and drive.
How are the roads looking?
Time for a drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess, sports director and the voice of high school football in Richmond, Virginia.
I understand there's traffic. You need to plan for that.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
But I think we start with the two local products who had their name called in the 2025 NFL Draft. We'll start with Tyler Warren. I was surprised to see the Bears pass on him at 10. They go with another tight end. He ends up 14 to the Colts.
I talked to some people that said they were like, they viewed those two tight ends as 1 and 1A, but they had Warren ranked ahead of Colton Loveland just by the littlest bit. But I heard some analysis that I thought was interesting in that they said that Tyler Warren was a similar type tight end to Cole Kmet, who they already have, and Loveland was a little bit more of a receiver who has a tight end designation by his name.
Yeah.
And so that's why they made that differentiation. I still think they'd have been better off with Tyler Warren, but then again, I'll be the first to say I'm skewed because he's the 804 guy. Having said all of that, I think the Colts are a great landing spot for him. Whether it's Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones playing quarterback, I think having the things that they can do with him, I think is just going to make him he's going to be a key part of that offense from day one.
Yeah, must watch TV, Colts games here in Richmond. We actually had a caller who said he's a Titans fan, lives in Richmond, and he's losing his mind because two local products now play for the Colts with Mo Ali Cox, VCU basketball, and Tyler Warren.
Right, and it is, and that's, you know, two tight ends that's going to be a key part of their weaponry.
Problem is, who's throwing them the ball?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. I would not discount the fact that it could be Daniel Jones. And I think a fresh start and a fresh opportunity away from the Giants, even though he was elsewhere last year, I think a hard reset on Daniel Jones, and he could have a renaissance. I really do.
And then Travion Henderson lands with the New England Patriots.
I think this is a phenomenal landing spot for him. Because with the new coaching staff, the reset, they've done a good job in free agency and the draft. They're building around young quarterback Drake May. I think Travion Henderson has a bright future in New England. I think he's going to do very well. I think it's a great place for him to excel. And the Patriots have kind of turned the page and gone back to the future with this new coaching staff. I think it's going to be a really good time for him in New England.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel loves to run the football.
And, well, plus he plays tough. He's just a really good coach. It's a good time culturally, football culture, to be in New England. And yes, he does love to run the football. And Henderson, could fight his way to the top of that draft, to that running back room very quickly.
It's funny how you say the culture in New England. It wasn't like that just 8-9 months ago when they were playing and losing under Gerard Mayo. You change coaches and you really can flip the culture.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that the Gerard Mayo experiment got 1 year and that was it, I think, you know. And it is, sometimes it just doesn't work. And Vrabel sitting out for a year, I think everybody knew how good a coach he was in Tennessee. And, of course, he's got ties to New England, too, from his playing career. So this is... It's just things are moving in the right direction in New England. And Yeah, they had to be thrilled that Travion Henderson fell to them in the second round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm looking forward to that. I think Vrabel's going to make the most of this second chance opportunity in New England.
And I will tell you this, and I told you this last week, both those kids, Tyler Warren and Travion Henderson, are not just going to make their teams better, they're going to make their teammates better. They are the kind of kids that walk in, have that leadership vibe, and are incredible teammates, great off-the-field guys, and they're going to make the franchises better and their teammates better, not just the teams on the field.
Other NFL draft storylines, Shedeur Sanders doesn't go to the fifth round. Steelers choose to wait and then draft Will Howard. Is Aaron Rodgers their future quarterback?
I think they're counting on Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. That's what I think. I think Will Howard's an interesting developmental guy for the Steelers to take. But I think that whole draft process is with the understanding they think Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Shedeur Sanders, wasn't that an interesting situation? You know, I think when push comes to shove, I have heard that there are a bunch of teams that took him completely off their draft board based on the vibe they got from interviews with him, or just, you know, not wanting everything that comes with it, or what have you, for whatever various reasons. I think it's an interesting cautionary tale for prospects in the future and how they approach the pre-draft season.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not rooting against Shedeur Sanders. Wish him the best of luck. It was just a very interesting storyline this weekend. The craziest thing to me was that he kept showing up as best player available, and it's like, it's the fifth round now. I'm not sure he's the best player available.
Here's the other thing. Taking two quarterbacks in the same draft, it's not... And, of course, Dillon Gabriel was not a first-round quarterback, but it's very reminiscent of Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. You know, you take Kirk Cousins, and to go back in the Wayback Machine with your burgundy and gold, they took Heath Shuler in the first round years ago, and then in the seventh round took Gus Frerotte. Well, who ended up being the guy that took a lot of snaps? Who took more snaps between Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins? So, you never know. You got Joe Flacco there. You've got
Kenny Pickett.
And you've got Dillon Gabriel, and you've got Shedeur Sanders. There is a pathway for him. It's not like he's blocked by this, you know, stud quarterback room. He is going to have an opportunity. And we'll see what happens.
I'm not sure the opportunity happens his rookie year, because I think you're going to get in a situation where, all right, Flacco's got to get snaps, right? Then Pickett's got to get snaps. Then Dillon Gabriel's got to get snaps. All right, Shedeur, practice is over. Do you want to stay here and throw with the seventh round wide receiver that we drafted? Because we just don't have time.
We'll see what happens, how that develops through OTAs, you know, once the coaches... we'll see how all that develops.
But do you personally think Dillon Gabriel is better than Shedeur Sanders?
I'm not prepared to answer that question either way. I think discounting Dillon Gabriel is at your peril, because he is older, played 6 years of college football. He is accomplished. But Shedeur Sanders, you know, it brings a lot to the table. You know, you can pick apart the mechanics with Shedeur Sanders, but you can't deny a 70% completion percentage. You just can't deny it.
Yeah.
So I think they both have good points and bad points. I think neither is an ideal can't-miss NFL quarterback.
I agree.
And so the proof is still to be determined.
Yeah, I think Dillon Gabriel, better college quarterback. He had a little happy feet at times that I don't think is going to transfer to the NFL.
Right.
And we'll see if Shedeur can have that X-factor abilities like Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, make a guy miss. That could put him ahead of Dillon Gabriel.
Jaden Daniels has some of that it factor that you can't really measure at the combine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you got to find those things too. And I don't know, where that it factor lied in this quarterback draft. I think the one player I saw that had that it, well, I think Tyler Warren's got a little bit of that it factor, but obviously the other it factor was Travis Hunter. I just think Travis Hunter, his ability to play both ways, and you know, he had to think he was going to go to Cleveland. Suddenly he gets to go play in Florida. He's got to be thrilled about that.
Yeah, Jacksonville was very surprising with their moves.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they made some good moves. And, you know, I think the pressure's going to be on for Trevor Lawrence to step up his game, and I think he's capable of doing it. I think and with the new coaching staff, these are going to be interesting times for Jaguar Nation down in Jacksonville.
Yep, absolutely. They also got our guy Tootin from Virginia Tech there. So they've got a crowded running back room now as well that includes ETN. Let's talk some Puck Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, I think the Washington Capitals, with a 3-1 lead, I think it would behoove them to go ahead and close it out tonight and get safely into the second round. Also, a little injury bug with the goalie, Logan Thompson. The fact that he avoided serious injury is huge because he's the hot hand between the pipes. It was cool to see Alex Ovechkin get the first overtime game winner of his career, playoff overtime game winner of his entire career in game one of this series. So the Caps are looking the part. The Carolina Hurricanes are looking the part. The Florida Panthers are looking the part. The Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be very compelling as the rounds go on. Out west, I think it's interesting as well. Winnipeg's the number one seed, still in a battle with St. Louis. I think Dallas could be a team to watch in the Western Conference.
But you're so right in terms of the Capitals. They've got to close it out tonight. You don't want to go back to Canada to face Montreal in a Game 6 and have this, you know, series keep going.
And then you lose Game 6 up there, and then Game 7, while it's on home ice, anything can happen in Game 7. So, yeah, you know, finish it tonight. Don't leave anything to chance. I was interested in the comments made by Kenny Atkinson, who was the who's the former Richmond Spider, who was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah,
and this is about the NHL, but it's what he said. He talked about his team showed a veteran presence by winning the first two games at home and then going down to Miami and continuing to play with urgency, not saying, oh, well, we've got a 2-0 lead, just showing the maturity to keep your foot on the gas and just don't let up, win those four games, reset, get ready for the next round. When you have a team that can approach things like that, it really helps in this playoff format, which are similar in the NBA and the NHL.
How exciting was that Devils-Hurricanes game? Double overtime, Canes win the series.
Sebastian Aho on the double overtime game winner. I think I heard shouts from our boy Zach as he got excited. But it's neat because, you know, on the call is my good friend Mike Maniscalco, one of your predecessors here at Sports Radio 910 The Fan. And he's doing a great job as the voice of the Hurricanes. And exciting win for the Canes last night. And they are looking, like I was talking about with the Panthers, looking the part. I mean, like with the Caps, looking the part so far as a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference.
Quickly, we move over to the NBA. And I just think the postseason has been what I've wanted the regular season to be like the past 5 years. It's intense. It's defense. It's games going down to the wire. Every possession matters. This Pistons-Knicks series has been everything the basketball fans want. Pistons win 106-103. To me, that's the perfect score for a pro basketball game.
And the Pistons are a team that would have been very easy to have that we're just happy to be here thing after being away from the playoffs for so long and behind Cade Cunningham getting back into playoff form. But they have not approached this series like we're just happy to be here. And they're making the Nets work for everything they're getting. And the Knicks are going to need to take care of business because Boston and Cleveland and Indiana are now all into the second round already in the Eastern Conference. And I think, you know, some of those battles are going to be great. How will this Cleveland team with two UVA players playing key roles in DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome, how are they going to stand up? You know, they're the number one seed. Boston's the 2 seed. But Boston's, you know, the team that is wearing the crown. So
you're right, though, and you mentioned it. I think when it comes down to the Eastern Conference Finals, how long does it take both Boston and Cleveland to get through their next series? Who's going to be more beat up?
Right, and you know, let's not discount the
Pacers.
The Pacers, because they are playing at a very high level, coached by another UVA product, Rick Carlisle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Rick Carlisle, and I love how he's back for part two with the Pacers.
Exactly. Hey, listen, you know, take a long look. Rick Carlisle has had an outstanding NBA coaching career.
Absolutely. Tonight, two Western Conference games, and these two series have been so much fun to watch. The Rockets, the two seed in trouble against Golden State tonight, down 3-1. The T-Wolves, the sixth seed, feeling pretty good against the Lakers.
So far in that Lakers-Minnesota series, Minnesota is the six and the Lakers are the three, but Minnesota looks like the better team.
Correct.
So far in this series. Golden State, the way Golden State played in the play-in and right down the end of the regular season, getting Jimmy Butler back, it was kind of predictable that the Rockets were going to have their hands full.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens with the rest of the series. But, you know, hey, listen. He is, what is he? Is Steph Curry like 37 now? Is that how old he is?
I don't think he's that old. But let me check on that.
He's getting up there. You know, the whole point of that.
37, you nailed it.
Okay, so Steph Curry is 37 years old, and the years are running out. We need to appreciate what Steph Curry is.
It feels like this could be his last dance, his last big run, maybe to the Western Conference Finals.
You know, and so, you know, the LeBron era has been so long, and Steph Curry now 37 years old. These guys have had long and storied NBA careers, and we need to appreciate them and enjoy them while they're still here.
That's a great point, because nobody expected Golden State to win Game 3 when Jimmy Butler was out, and Steph Curry had 36 points, 5 of 13 from 3. Butler comes back the next game. Now they're up 3-1. But that game was so impressive.
This just in, Curry still has it. Curry showed that in the Olympics last year.
Yeah.
When the gold medal was on the line, he was ridiculous. And, you know, he is, you know, for those of us who are long-timers here in Virginia, some of his shooting exploits brings back memories of Del Curry, his dad, when he played at Virginia Tech and in the NBA for years with the Hornets. So he got his shooting touch, honestly, because Dell could fill it up, too.
All right, lastly, Phillies beat the Nats. Weird ending, huh?
Weird ending. You know, I've told you before many times, as a Phillies fan, the bullpen is the bane of my existence. And guess what? They get a two-run lead in the eighth inning last night. What happens at the top of the ninth? Lowe hits a three-run homer off of Ryan Kirkering. Great. And so then the Nats bullpen is apparently no better.
Yeah, right.
Apparently no better. A couple of things happen. The winning run gets to third base and then scores on a wild pitch. So, and a little better throw from the outfield and the tying run could have been thrown out and the game could have gone completely differently. But, yeah, weird ending last night, but a wild pitch ends the game and the Phillies get the W. Let's just say they get the W despite their bullpen.
Yeah, that's important because the Mets are starting to pull away in the NL East.
Yeah, the Mets, they're starting to pull away, but at the same time, you know, there's 130 games left.
Yeah.
So let's bear in mind, you know, the baseball season is a marathon, which is why it's not too late for the Orioles to get up off the mat and do something because they're very talented, but they've got questions to answer. Got a huge win against the Yankees night before last, but then just got housed by the Pinstripers last night.
Gary, always appreciate the time.
Yep, yep.
That was a drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar, Gary Hess. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan.
Let's drive down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess on AWOD Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Just drove down Richmond Highway with Gary Hess. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. We've been talking about RFK 2.0, the Commanders' return to the home site of RFK, hopefully by the start of the 2030 NFL season. Joining us right now to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia, it's Lane Casadante. What's up, Lane?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. How's everybody?
Doing pretty good here, and we were talking about the new stadium at RFK. How about the new stadium here at the Diamond District with CarMax Park? It's so cool when you go out to see the Squirrels play this year, the 40th season at the Diamond. You can see the work being done right next door.
Yeah, and it's really starting to take shape now. You can see the skeleton of what, you know, how it's going to be enclosed. They still are finishing up some of the touches on how the inside of it is going to look, just like getting it. Not anything major, but just, you know, do we want this here? Do we want that there? But, you know, you can see the footprint of it. And they're a little bit ahead of schedule, which is fantastic. And it really gets you even more excited for what's to come next year when you can really start to see it take shape.
Absolutely. Lane Casadante with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Lane's the sports director at WTVR, CBS6, and has been in here in Richmond for a long time. And Lane, so I'll defer to you on this. How much do you think Richmonders cared about the RFK announcement?
Oh, I think quite a bit. I think especially the older fans of the franchise from back in their glory days. I went to, I think, two games at RFK before they moved up to Landover. And it was an old stadium back then. I mean, in the mid-90s, it was already old. But it was neat because it was a kind of a baseball stadium. We used to put our equipment in one of the dugouts. But it felt like the fans were sitting on top of you. And for fans who only know kind of, you know, the model stadium from, let's say, 95 to 2005 or so, they all look the same, right? For years it was Riverfront, Three Rivers, and the Vet in Philly were all looked exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Well, then you had, you know, the stadium in Charlotte and in D.C. and in a couple other places, a giant stadium, for example, they all looked exactly the same. There wasn't a lot of character to them. There wasn't anything that made one stand out from the other, other than maybe the fans, but even the fans can only overcome so much with a facility. So I think now that they, and RFK had that, you know, it had a lot of character, had a lot of personality, was only, I think, 57,000 fans. It was by no means the biggest in the NFL, but it felt like the mezzanine would shake when the fans would really get excited, and you could see it bouncing up and down. You really thought the old place was going to cave in on you half the time when the fans got excited. And that is an atmosphere that you just never had in Landover, partly because of what happened on the field, but partly because of the way stadiums were built for, you know, a good 20, 25 years in the history of the league.
Yeah, incredible run from 61 to 97. We talked about this with Gary Hess as well. George Allen brings success to the team, and then in comes Joe Gibbs in all of the 80s and early 90s, and that place was rocking at RFK. I told Gary, like, my dad took me to one or two Redskins games at RFK, but I have more vivid memories of DC United and the Washington Nationals before Nats Park was built at RFK. Gary also pointed to the character of RFK. Can you give me a little bit more details? Is it simply the ground shaking and people jumping up and down? What was the character of RFK?
Well, yeah, it was the place that where you knew that they had a lot of success. It was the place where I got to remember. I'm pretty sure they won, you know, at least a couple of their NFC titles there.
Oh yeah, yeah,
But you really felt like there wasn't a bad seat in the house. Like you were right on top of the field. And you could put up with a lot of things because A, the team won. Winning cures a lot of stuff. But B, it was much easier to get to than is it Northwest Stadium now? I'm always going to call it FedEx Field, but it was easier to get to. A lot of people that have, you know, that I've talked to in the last week have all these memories of tailgating out in grass fields out behind the park, and I know you do that at every stadium, but people just seem to have more vivid and more colorful and better memories from when the team was at RFK, and I honestly think that has a lot to do with Coach Gibbs and John Riggins and Joe Theismann and the Smurfs and all those guys that were so successful. When Jaden Daniels, you know, if he's still here in 5 years and they're still winning and they get into a new stadium, will it be the same? Probably not. It'll be different, but I don't know that you'll ever be able to recapture the atmosphere and the character that you would have had at a place like RFK just because they don't build stadiums like that anymore.
Yeah, no, well said, Lane, but it'll be much better than FedEx Field Northwest Stadium because of everybody's hate for that owner, Dan Snyder. Lane Casadante with us here on the Hedin Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You know, we haven't gotten your thoughts on the Commanders draft class, and we'll start with their first and second round pick. NFL Network said Trey Amos, one of the five biggest sleepers of the second round, could have been a first round pick. And Josh Connerly, the tackle out of Oregon, shocked me. Completely unsexy pick being offensive line, but should help Jaden Daniels develop for sure.
Well, and when you have a generational talent like Jaden Daniels has shown himself to be in 1 year, you qualify it by saying it's only been a year, but you're going to want as much in front of him as possible, right? That's why you go out and you trade a couple of draft picks to get a Laramie Tunsil, and that's why you take an offensive lineman in the first round. We were screaming for this the last couple of years with this organization. Please do something with that offensive line. It doesn't need to be a patchwork every single year. I swear to God, I think 1 year Jay Gruden was getting guys that were, you know, guarding the 7-Eleven down the street, just literally pulling guys off the street to play offensive line because it got to be so bad up there with injuries and just ineffectiveness. So you don't mind that pick. You don't mind the fact that they really want to bolster their defensive secondary because, honestly, I understand his credentials coming in, but we have not seen a lot from Marshawn Lattimore yet. You know what he can do. You haven't seen it yet in D.C. He's got to be able to stay on the field, so I understand that pick as well. I was surprised they didn't. Everybody thought, you know, they needed an edge rusher, and I'm not sure that they addressed that just yet. Maybe they're working on something before these mini camps start. Or maybe they're just happy with the front seven that they have on the defensive side, and they wanted to bolster other areas of the team first.
Lane, before we let you go, I got to ask you about the local products. Tyler Warren, Travion Henderson. Warren lands with the Colts. Henderson, perfect scenario in my mind to play for the Patriots.
Yeah, I heard you and Gary talking about both of them, and Gary said, you know, they're quality guys. He said, not only are you going to make your team better, but your teammates better, they're also going to make their communities better. These are two guys who are all about service over self. I think that's why, and Travion, you know, he battled a lot of injuries in Columbus. And I don't know that even, you know, winning a national title and doing everything that he did, I don't think they got the very best of him, you know, in the 4 years, because I don't think he was 100% healthy the whole time. I think he can be even better than we saw in Columbus. And Tyler Warren, he's that guy. He's the guy that you saw last year at Penn State He's the guy that, you know, he admitted, when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, he admitted the blocking part of that role as a tight end. While he won't be asked to do it all the time, he does understand that's an area where he's probably going to have to get a lot better, because in the NFL, he is going to have to do multiple things. And, you know, if there's an injury or if there's a certain package where it doesn't call for him to release right away and he's got to stay in and run block, he does know he needs to work on that. But you won't find two kids that are going to work harder to be the very best version of themselves for their new teams.
Lane, always appreciate you taking the time to join the show. We've got to cover a Colts game so we can interview Tyler Warren and Mo Alie-Cox. It's so cool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a pretty good tight end room for the 804, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. Lane, any other local stories that we haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, man.
Did anybody else get drafted from the 804?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys that got, well, Jalen Lane, not exactly from the 804, but Virginia Tech, you know, he'll be up in D.C. this year, and a lot of people are very excited about him being a complimentary piece to Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. A lot of people are excited for him coming in, so that's one of the guys that we're going to be watching. And then there were a handful of guys from the 804 and from area teams that got tryouts.
Yeah.
Or got invites to rookie camp, I should say. Excuse me. So those all get started next week, and we'll get a better idea of how those guys do. This is their shot. It's all they can ask for. And there is plenty of history of these, you know, UDFAs and rookie camp invites actually finding their way on a roster.
Yep. And with Jalen Lane, I think he becomes the Commanders' best punt returner. You know, day one, the day he was drafted, he's the best punt returner we have on the roster. Does Lane Casadante from CBS 6 have a hot Shador Sanders take? Do you care at all?
I will say this. The argument about collusion is garbage, because just take 33 random people off the street and you're not going to get them to all agree on one thing, much less 33 billionaires who are used to, you know, thinking they have all the answers. And honest to God, you know, if Lee Harvey Oswald would have ran a 4.25, the Cowboys would have given him a tryout. So the NFL is not necessarily, you know, concerned if you can play. I think Shador mirrors the, in a way, I heard them bring up Colin Kaepernick, and I think it mirrors that in a way, but not the way people are thinking. I think, you know, if you're going to bring the circus to town, you better be top of the charts on everything. While I think Shador is a tough kid, and while I think he can probably find a role in the NFL, I'm not sure just yet he's shown that he plays well enough to overcome the circus that they all expect him to bring. So if he can find a way to balance those two out a lot more than they are right now, he'll do just fine.
Lane, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, Adam, thanks for having me.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.